Numbers chapter 11. The messages are going to be on prayers for life and death. Tonight we'll start with the prayers for death, and then since I have 3 prayer meeting nights, perhaps I'll tell you some things that I leave out now on another prayer meeting night. If you were thinking before I started to read a scripture, could you think of anybody who prayed to God for death? Any brother, tell me? Elijah? Yes. Who else? I can't give but one message if you give me Elijah. Well, I'll tell you for the sake of time, and in this order so you can remember them. There was Moses, there was Job, there was Samson, there was Elijah, there was Jeremiah, and there was Jonah. All of them prayed for death. A remarkable thing. So let's read a little. Starting with Moses in Numbers chapter 11. Verse 10. And Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, every man at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou dealt ill with thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I brought them forth, that thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father carrieth the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. Now, Job chapter 3. The last verse of 2 says, So they sat down, Bildad, Zophar, Eliphaz, with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. And Job answered and said, Let the day perish wherein I was born. And the night which was said, There is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God from above seek for it, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death claim it for their own. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Verse 8, Let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to rouse up Leviathan. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Verse 10, Because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid trouble from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when my mother bare me? Why did the knees receive me, or why the breast that I should suck? For now I should have lain down and been quiet. I should have slept. Then had I been at rest. Verse 20, Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, who long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than hid treasures. Now, Judges chapter 11, and I shall just read this one. And tell you perhaps a little about the rest. Judges chapter 16. Look at verse 17. Delilah has been pestering Samson day after day after day for the disclosure of the source of his strength. And finally it says in verse 17, and he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And this is what happens. The Philistines are upon him. They cut off the 7 locks of his head. They put out his eyes, and they bind him to the grist mill, and he is laboring as a beast of burden. They bring Samson into the arena to make sport for them. And in verse 28, this is what we read. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my 2 eyes. And Samson took hold of the 2 middle pillars upon which the house rested and leaned upon them, the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead that he slew at his death were more than they that he slew in his life. Now let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us know that there are so many passages to which we could turn, and they are joyful passages, and then there are so many passages, like the ones that we have read tonight, that are sorrowful passages. But all of them are the Word of God, and all of them are profitable. And so let us learn, our God, in thy will, from these prayers for life and for death, and may we understand about our service for thee, about heaven and hell and all the issues of life. Bless us at that end. We look to thee, our God. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I remember many years ago asking a congregation this question. If you had to die, would you rather die tonight or tomorrow? And I knew everyone would say tomorrow, but there was one beat-up Christian sitting out in the audience, and he said, yesterday. Now, you say, that's a contradiction. No, it isn't. Because both Job and Jeremiah prayed that they might have died yesterday, not wait until tomorrow, but they considered the issue of their lives, and they prayed and meditated and talked with God about the day of their birth, and they wanted never to have been born. And this brings something to mind that our Savior said, and it's one of the most horrible passages in the Word of God. Our Savior said, "The hand of him that betrayeth me is upon the table, but woe unto that man through whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born." That's the same thing that Job and Jeremiah prayed. And the Lord Jesus said concerning Judas, it would have been good for him had he never been born. And I have wondered if the Lord could say that about anybody else, about all the unsaved in the world who shall never trust him as Savior, or was it for just this one? However, in the portions that I have read to you, and there are no less than three more, we have men, and all of them are men, and they pray to God for death. A remarkable thing for this reason. Name one of those six that was not a child of God. You say they were all God's children. Yes. And they are the ones who are praying for death. Those whom Moses brought out of Egypt said this over and over, "Would we had died in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots. We remember the leeks and the onions and the garlics and the fish. We ate all those fish and they didn't charge us anything for eating those fish. Would we had died." And so they were thinking of the past too. So as you consider these whom I've read and wonder why they wanted to die, it's strange because I thought that we who were God's children were exempt from such thoughts, and that if a thought like that did come, we would never express it to God. We would conceal it and not let people know. But not only did these individuals let people know, they spoke their heart's desire to God, and they all wanted to die in the future, or to have never been born, to have died long ago. And not two had the same reason for wanting to die, and yet all of them had a mission for God. Think of this now, and I will tell you the reasons why they all wanted to die. And the first one makes me ashamed of you, and the others will make you perhaps ashamed of me. But Moses said, "I want to die because of the burden of serving the people of God." Now, isn't that a sad thing? Isn't it a joyful thing? Why don't you ask me? Isn't the happiest thought of your life serving the people of God, the way that they love you and say good things about you and always obey all the teachings that you give them in the Word of God? It isn't that way at all. And yet, I have avoided doing the things that people like Moses and Jeremiah had to do. And another thing, I come and I preach to you a month and then I escape, but the others who live here that look out for you and care for you, that are over you in the Lord, they have nowhere to go. And so they have to see you day after day, year after year. And Moses said this, "It is a burden that is too great for me. I cannot endure it any longer. Kill me, lest I see my wretchedness. So I want you to understand that, that all of you who are Christians can make the servants of God feel wretched. You can encourage them, as when the Apostle Paul was met when he went to Rome by those that had never seen him. And it said when he saw them, he took courage. And so the people of God can give you courage and joy, or they can break your heart and so burden you that you will pray to God that you die. And so keep that in mind. It says, obey those that are over you in the Lord. Know them that are over you in the Lord, and esteem them exceeding highly in love for their work's sake. And in Hebrews, it says that they watch in behalf of your soul. And Moses, when he was speaking to God, said this. He could have said, Lord, I told you in the first place I could not do it. I did not want to do it, but you insisted that I do it. And how long had Moses been caring for the children of Israel when he prayed this prayer? You know, he took care of them for 40 years. Of those 40 years, how long had he cared for them? 1 year. I would have thought it was at the end of 30 or 40 years. But it wasn't that way at all. Because it gives us a specific date just before Numbers 11. And it says, in the second year. And so, about a year had elapsed. And in a year's time, he was so burdened down that he did not want to look upon his wretchedness. He said, I'm not able to bear these people alone. Now God, in his goodness, in his mercy, said, all right, then call 70 others, and I will take the spirit that is upon you, and I will place it upon them, and they shall assist you. And Jethro had seen that. His father-in-law had seen it, and he gave him the same advice. He said, why, the people are going to be worn out if you deal with them this way. They'll wear you out, and they'll be worn out as well. He said, now, if God tell you so, take the advice that I give you. That's so good. You say, we're not to take advice from others. If they say to you, if God tell you so, as Jethro did, you ought to take that advice. And Moses confessed to God. He said, I'm not able to bear this people alone. And so God, in his mercy, gave him 70 others to assist him. And that would be an excellent thing. If you see a child of God that has a heavy burden in filling his responsibilities, I remember in Galatians 6, it says, every man shall bear his own burden, but it says we are also to bear one another's burdens. And so Moses was bearing his burden and their burden, and he cried to God, you must help me or I want you to kill me summarily. I just want to be put out of my wretched condition, and I do not want to experience it, O God, because I cannot fulfill this task that you've laid upon me. So that's an encouragement to me for this reason. At times there are things that you feel that you should do, but you say, I do not have strength to fulfill those duties. Well, Moses had that feeling before you did, and at times others should come to your assistance. And God, in his goodness, in a formal way, gave him ever so many assistants. But here is a man that prays for death because of the burden of caring for the people of God. Now, let me ask you this. Are you one that causes those that minister to you and care for you and watch in behalf of your soul? Do you burden them down? Are you one that gives joy? Or, knowing you, they endure you, and you are one who is a burden and they need help? What is so sad is that you go to assemblies and you see those that are a joy and a comfort, and there are others that are troublers in the assemblies, and what Moses says, I'm not able to bear all these people alone. Because this is what happens, and this is what is a burden. You tell the people of God plainly, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But how many are here tonight, and how many were here Sunday morning at 11 o'clock? And not only that, you have other duties that God places upon us. It talks about this. It tells us that we are to be pure in heart. It tells us that we are not to steal, that we are not to commit adultery. It tells us that we are not to lie one to another. And yet, only recently, one of the elders got up and said, it is necessary for us to read this brother out of the meeting because he's guilty of adultery. We tell you that marriage is permanent. We tell you that there's no clergy and laity. We tell you all of these things, but they seem to mean nothing. And when that happens, when you preach, you think that your labor has been in vain. And what God does is say, then I will give you assistance as well. And what is such an encouragement is when you can go and speak to 70, why, if you can go and speak to one or two others that know the Word of God and see its teachings and can sympathize with you and the burdens that you are bearing, why, that is a great blessing from God. And so Moses said, you either have to help me or I want you to kill me immediately. Put me out of my misery so that I see not my wretchedness. And God did the second thing that he asked. He could have taken his life away, but he did not. And I think I'll bring this out right now for this reason. There were six of them that asked for death, and God only allowed one of them to have that prayer answered. Because God had about 39 more years for Moses to work. And God said to Moses, you're not escaping me that easily. You have 39 more years to bear this burden. There will be others to help you, but you are not going to die as yet. And I will mention this because of the glorious future that God has for Elijah. Elijah, because of something that he never realized was in his heart, he turned out to be a coward. He was unafraid of 400 prophets of Baal, and he put them to death. And then Jezebel, the wicked wife of Ahab, sent him a note and said, the gods do so to me and more also. If your life be not as the life of one of those dead prophets of mine tomorrow at this time. And it said that when Elijah saw that, he ran for his life. He took his servant with him, and then he left his servant, and he went a day's journey in the wilderness, and he sat down under a juniper tree, and this was his prayer. He said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life away from me, because I am no better than my fathers. And so here is a man who thought that he was a courageous lion, but he turned out to be a coward. And a woman sent him a threatening letter, and he was unafraid of 400 prophets of Baal, but he was afraid of a threatening letter written from a woman. And think of Peter, who said, I will go to prison and I will die with you. And the little maid said, aren't you a follower of Jesus of Nazareth? I've known nothing about the man. And then he insisted with oaths and curses that he never knew Jesus. And what happened to Peter? It says that when that happened, when three times he denied the Lord, it says the Lord turned and looked at him, and the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered, and he went out and wept bitterly. So all of you who think you are strong, he that thinketh he is strong, let him take heed, lest he find himself weak. He that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. And Elijah thought that he was invincible, but then he found out that he was a coward. And before he had thought evidently that he was better than his fathers, and then he discovered that he was no better than his fathers, and he was so ashamed of his cowardice that he prayed to God to take his life away. Well, thank God for that, because there are some who sin against God, who fail God, and they're not ashamed at all. They say, well, everybody fails. Everybody is scared at times. Why are you looking at me? But what happened is that Elijah understood personally what was wrong with him. And it was so painful to his heart that he said to God, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life away from me, for I am no better than my fathers. And so someday you're going to learn that you are just a sinner saved by grace. And God is he who makes you to stand. And you think you're strong and that you'll never forsake the Lord. And I've thought this. I've thought of late about some dear Christian brethren that I knew for years that were strong Christians. And I've heard that they've forsaken the Lord completely. And I thought about going and asking them, what is it now? What is it that came upon you that made you abandon the Lord? I want to hear it. Because if I'm truly a child of God, I do not believe that I could be made to abandon the Lord. But I'm afraid to do that. I'd better not take that approach, because I'm liable to turn out to be an Elijah, or I'm liable to turn out to be a Simon Peter, and I'll find myself a coward, and I'm no better than all the other Christian ministers over the years and all of their failures. And that is why when I hear of some of God's servants and their failures, I say, God, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. You who think you stand, take heed lest you fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, yes. But while that promise is true, we pray to God, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so think now, the reason that Elijah wanted to die was because he found out that he was a coward, and he fled for his life. Isn't that remarkable? He was afraid of dying at the hand of Jezebel. But then, when he sat under that juniper tree, he said, I'm ready for you to kill me. He didn't want to die earlier, but at that time, he was quite prepared to let God take his life away from him. Now, in the case of Job, and I want us to remember this, because Satan is far wiser than any of us. If the Spirit of God is in control and illumines us, we are his superior. But if not, we are no match. And here is Job, and he had lived long enough to have 10 children and accumulate great wealth. And his life, and this is most important, he had thought about his life. He had seen that the lions had fallen unto him in pleasant places, and he tells us, he said, I said to myself, I shall die in my nest, my children being around me, I being respected and honored, I shall have length of days, and I shall die comfortably and in peace in my nest. That is what he thought. Now, Satan understood that as well. And so when God was pointing out, have you considered my servant Job? There's nobody like him. And Satan said, well, of course there's nobody like him, because you've done everything for him. You've put a hedge about him. You've protected him. You've done everything for him. But you turn him over to me, all the things that he owns, and I will show you what he is. He will curse you to your face. And God said, he's yours, but spare his life. And Satan instrumentally took everything that Job had away from him, including his 10 children. And when that happened, he said, naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. I brought nothing into the world, and I'm going to take nothing out of the world. And it said Job did not sin. But Satan knew another thing. He said, you prevented my touching him. He said, skin for skin. He said, you touch his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. God said, go, go, touch him, spare his life. And Job went. Job was afflicted by Satan. He was covered with boils from head to foot. And he was so miserable that he sat down in a dust heap and scraped his body with a potsherd. And here he is in his misery. And then, when this happens, afterwards, though Job said those wonderful words, shall we receive good from the hand of God and not receive evil? And when his wife said to him, do you still maintain your righteousness? Curse God and die. He said, why, you speak as one of the foolish women. And so it says, after that, though, when a reversal of fortune overtook Job, he said, cursed be the day wherein I was born. I told you what he had been thinking. He had been thinking this. What I have is going to increase. I shall see children and grandchildren. Why, I shall die in my nest. But now he understands that he's not going to die in his nest. And he's miserable. And instead of thanking God for the life, the enrichment that had been bestowed upon him from heaven, now he thinks back over his life and he says, I wish I had never been born. And all of you who are thanking God, oh God, you have been so good to me. I think of the kindness. I think of your mercy toward me. And I do too. But I am afraid to become proud and say to myself, yes, I shall die comfortably in my nest, because that's what Job was thinking. But God said, you're not going to die that way, Job. You have to go through all of these experiences before you die. And now, suddenly, what Satan said turned out to be true. Job is not blaming God. But it's like this. When our Savior went to the funeral of Lazarus, both Martha and Mary said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. They said no more. What's in those words? If you had been here, my brother had not died. And so Job, when he's cursing the day of his birth, who is the one that gives life? Who is the one that brings man into the world? Job says this, did not he who formed the slave in the womb form me? Did not he form us both? He said all of those things. But now, when there was a reversal of fortune, like Satan said, you take his possessions, you touch his flesh, and you'll see what he thinks. Job never cursed God, but he so upset God, if I may reverently say that, that God said this. He said, would you condemn me that you might be justified? Would you disannul my judgments? Think, that is what Job was going to do. He was going to disannul God's judgments, and he was going to condemn God that he might be justified. And so Satan knew what he was talking about. Job did not fail, but thoughts were going on in his heart. and all the future that he thought was going to be his. It did not turn out to be his, and he wished that he had never been born. And so that man that I saw out in the congregation, I know some of the things that happened in his life, and I could understand. And yet, God had let that man be born, confess Christ as Savior, and go through life, and he had made such a failure of his life. And when he thought it over, and I said, "Would you rather die today or tomorrow?" He said, "Yesterday." And he was ever so scriptural in that. And so all of you who are saying, "It's wonderful to be saved. It's wonderful to have all the blessings of God," beware. Satan can give a reversal of fortune. And then you're liable to think back and say to God, "Why was I ever born? Cursed be the day that I was born." And if you read in Jeremiah chapter 20, you'll find that there was almost a contest between Job and Jeremiah in cursing the day of their birth. Both of them cursed the day of their birth. And this is what Jeremiah says. He says, "Why was I brought forth from the womb? To endure labor and pain and shame. Why did I have to be born? Why was not the womb the tomb as well?" And Job goes on for 26 verses. Jeremiah just goes on for 4 verses. But all of them look back over their lives and they say, "We wish that we had never been born." Now think, why is Moses asking to die? Because of the people of God. And why is Jeremiah asking and wishing that he had never been born? Because of the reaction of the people of God, the shame, the misery, the labor that was heaped upon him by God. And God had touched his lips. God had empowered him. But still, he looked back over his life, and he was looking over the life that he had to live now in serving God. And he said, "I wish I'd never been born." He cursed the day of his birth. And I'm thinking of this. I couldn't help but laugh when I think, "Cursed be the day that I was born, and cursed be that man that came and said to my father, 'A man-child is born.' Why curse that poor man? He thought he was giving joy to Job's father." And he said, "Cursed be that man. Cursed be the day. Let it never be remembered." And so these are the thoughts that are going on in the heart of Job and Jeremiah and Moses. And Moses and Jeremiah, because of what they are having to endure in serving the people of God. I thought of this many years ago. I can't give you all the details, but I thought that if I could provide for my household by having a job from 9 to 5 and then having no more worries, I said, that would be such a good thing. What a burden would be relieved from my heart, thinking about the responsibilities of the children of God. And yet others look at the servants of God and say, "I wish I had your job." Well, you see, I have been studying day and night to tell you as best I am able the things that I'm telling you now. And you are never relieved, because a child of God is on call at all times. So here are two servants of the Lord, and they think of their service for God, and they say to God, "It's more than I can bear. I see what's going to happen, the labor, the shame. Oh God, I wish I had never been born." Now, think of this. Think of Samson. Because Samson is the one whose prayer was answered when he said, "Let me die with the Philistines." How can you understand the ways of God? Job is in his misery because of his integrity. And there was not a man on the earth that was his equal. And because of his integrity and his goodness, all of this suffering came upon him. And Samson is in misery. And why is it upon him? Because of his carnality, because of his giving away of the secret of his strength and communion with the Lord. How remarkable that one man is burdened and pained because of his sin and disobedience, and another man is burdened and pained because of his devotedness to the will of God. But if we had to suffer, it's like John Wesley said it one time. As he was riding around on his horse, he was robbed. And he said, "Better this man rob me than I rob that man." Now, that is a good outlook on life. So, here are these individuals, and I'm thinking of suffering, and I must say this, if I must suffer pain and shame, if all that I have be taken away, and there is sickness that has come upon me, may it be, O God, because you have looked down from heaven and pointed me out at least as noteworthy as one of your children, rather than having to abandon me into the hands of the wicked Philistines and let them blind me and bind me as a beast of burden and have me to grind at the grist mill. If I have to suffer, let me suffer because of why Job suffered rather than why Samson suffered. And I can see why Samson would want to die, because he had strength, he was invincible, he was afraid of nothing. But now he is weak as any other man, but God in his mercy allowed his hair to grow again. And the day that they were making him perform, they were going to have him sport before them. Samson prayed to God. He said, "God," he said, "I want vengeance." He said, "I want to pay back these Philistines for putting out my two eyes." And he said, "God, let me die with these Philistines." And God gave him that strength once again. And it is unimaginable that a man is so strong that he can put his hands on two pillars that are upholding a building and bend forward and pull those pillars down and the entire building collapse. But he said, "Now, that's what I'm going to do. Now let me die with the Philistines." And he's the only one that God permitted to die. Why? Perhaps because he was the only one that sinned so grievously. He had his eyes put out. He had all his reputation ruined. And so he said, "Now, let me die." And so all his lifetime, he should have been destroying the Philistines. But the only time he destroyed them was when they crossed him in one of his lewd adventures. And so now, he says, "Let me be avenged for my two eyes upon these Philistines." And God knew that they were the enemies of Israel, and so he allowed his prayer to be answered. And so these are some of those who prayed for death, and God had plans for them other than death. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that you have given us the lives of these men that are your choicest servants, some of them carnal, but at least a judge in Israel. And so, Father, we think of ourselves. We think of all the labor, the sorrow, the burdens of these men of God. And it was so heavy that they prayed to you to die. And so we think of what burdens have come into our lives. And Lord, we are not ready to pray to Thee as yet, take my life away. But our God, we pray that we shall have respect for those that are in Your service, and that we shall not judge them harshly, our God, but see how seriously they assume the responsibilities. Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant. And so help us who seek to help the people of God to be faithful, and help the people of God to know those that are over them in the Lord, and to esteem them exceeding highly in love for their work's sake, our Father. Let us love one another, and help us to be one as children of God. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.